Paris G7 pushes back on China's grip on critical minerals. Paris. G7 trade ministers wrapped up 2 days of talks in Paris this week with a joint statement that, without naming China, took aim at Beijing's grip on critical mineral supply chains and signaled the bloc's intent to push back against what they called attempts to weaponize economic dependencies. The May 5th to 6th meeting, held under France's rotating G7 presidency, targeted Western reliance on Chinese-controlled supplies of lithium, cobalt, rare earths, and other materials essential for defense systems, electric vehicles, semiconductors, and industrial manufacturing. The talks set the stage for a leaders' summit scheduled for mid-June in Avignon, France. In their statement issued May 7th, the trade ministers expressed grave concerns regarding economic coercion, including coercion through arbitrary export restrictions, and pledged to deter and stand ready to take actions, where necessary, against economic coercion. They identified non-market policies and practices, industrial subsidies, and forced technology transfers as targets for coordinated G7 responses, though the document stopped short of naming Beijing directly. The Paris meeting unfolded against the backdrop of fresh trade friction between Washington and Brussels after President Donald Trump indicated last week that the United States would raise tariffs on European Union-made cars to 25% from 15%, citing what he called Brussels's failure to implement the Turnberry trade agreement reached in Scotland in the summer of 2025. French Foreign Trade Minister Nicolas Ferrissier, who chaired the meeting, told reporters the announcement was a call to keep moving forward on Turnberry's implementation, and EU Trade Commissioner Mauro Sefcovic said in Paris that he and US Trade Representative Jamieson Greer had agreed it's important to respect the deal from Turnberry from both sides. Ferrissier made clear, however, that critical minerals were certainly one of the major subjects of the talks. Permanent body to direct work on critical minerals. G7 countries are considering a permanent secretariat to ensure that critical minerals initiatives outlast the bloc's rotating presidencies. The body could be housed at the International Energy Agency or at the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, both based in Paris. Ferrissier confirmed the idea but stressed that France was not seeking to create an additional institution, but rather a streamlined task force under direct ministerial authority. He described the plan as a complement to the American-led Indo-Pacific Trade and Critical Minerals Initiative, working toward a common toolbox. The April 24 Memorandum of Understanding signed in Washington by U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio and Sefcovic already provides a transatlantic anchor. It contemplates border-adjusted price floors, standards-based markets, price gap subsidies, and joint procurement, with a pilot project on price floors potentially launched before year-end. In comments to the Epoch Times, Gérard Vespierre, a French geopolitical analyst and researcher, called the Secretariat proposal a very good idea, arguing that coordination on prospecting and on technological improvements to refining would prove valuable. Emmanuel Dupuy, French associate professor of geopolitics at several universities and president of the Institute for Foresight and Security in Europe, was less convinced. He described the announcement as more presentational than substantive in a context where the EU tariff dispute is putting transatlantic unity under strain. They likely wanted to flatter the US Secretary of Commerce to give the impression of Western cohesion in the face of China's grip on critical materials and rare earths on which our economy depends, he told the Epoch Times. He noted that very few European mining companies are in a position, or even willing, to extract critical materials in Africa, and that the G7 does not include other European countries. The G7 statement identified specific tools under consideration, including resilience criteria, transparency mechanisms, diversification requirements, revenue stabilization through price gap subsidies, joint procurement instruments, and trade-related measures such as quotas and price floors. Whether such measures translate into binding commitments will likely become clearer at the Avignon summit next month. For now, Chaman, a French economic historian at Paris-Dauphine University and a specialist in commodity markets who has been heard several times by French parliamentary commissions of inquiry, said in an interview with the Epoch Times that the West has put its head on the Chinese chopping block, and it will have the greatest difficulty in pulling it out. Why is China dominant in the critical minerals market? Because it made the investments we were unwilling to make, Dupuy said. Political leaders have only recently realized that, 3 decades ago, they made the wrong industrial choices. CCP's industrial stranglehold. Beijing's dominance in critical minerals stems from a deliberate, decades-long strategy, according to Chaman. They concentrated on a few key sectors, then captured the upstream mining and concentrated the metallurgy at home, he said. Chaman also said that the West's predicament was largely self-inflicted. The dependence, he said, results from decisions we ourselves took under pressure from environmental activists, as Western governments were content to outsource the environmental burden of metallurgy to China at a time when political leaders did not perceive the strategic dimension of these materials. Rare earths are found all over the world, in former Eastern Bloc countries, across Asia, in South America, Southern Africa, Australia, and the United States. The challenge lies in their low concentration levels, which is why they are described as rare. Obtaining 1 kilogram of lutetium, for example, requires crushing 1,200 tons of rock, while China directly or indirectly extracted around 270,000 tons of rare earths in 2024, representing nearly 70% of global production. The country refined more than 90% of the world's output. The central technical obstacle to reducing Chinese dominance lies not in mining but in processing, Chaman said. The bottleneck is not the mine. It is the metallurgy. China now holds dominant or near-monopolistic positions in the processing of rare earths, cobalt, lithium, germanium, gallium, and antimony, among others, he noted. In its 2025 annual report, the International Energy Agency warned of the risks posed by such dominance. A single country is the dominant refiner for 19 out of 20 energy-related strategic minerals, with an average market share of around 70%, the agency stated. The minerals in question are vital for power grids, batteries, and electric vehicles, but they also play a crucial role in AI chips, jet engines, defense systems, and other strategic industries, the agency added. The United States was almost entirely dependent on foreign countries for rare earths in 2023, with China accounting for about 70% of imports, according to the U.S. Geological Survey.